Chinese Delia Multa is a new series of episodes on SBS Food starting on Monday, 24th November at 8 p.m., revealing how different nations influenced Maltese food through history. It's a pleasure to have Shane Delia on the phone. Thank you. Grazie for your time, Shane.
No, thank you, Joe. It's great to be speaking with you and, you know, great to be connecting with the Maltese community in Australia.
And looking at some of the publicity shots, you had a great time in Malta shooting this series. How did it come about?
I think every time I go to Malta, I have a great time. I was there twice this year, so it was really nice. How did the series come about? I mean, I've had great relationships in Malta for a long time, and I've got a good relationship with Visit Malta. And for a long time, we've been doing a few things, just small, you know, small things over the last few years. And they reached out and said, "Hey, Shane, look, you're our guy in Australia. We'd love to do something, in, you know, to promote that we now have a Maltese Tourism Authority office in Australia for the first time, which is great news for us. You know, is there any ideas you have?" I said, "Hey, let's do a show. Let's show the world how beautiful Maltese food is. Let's explore Maltese history through food and see where we've been, where we are, where we're going." And, you know, they were really, really thrilled to do that. And lucky for me, they chose me as a presenter, and here we are today.
So you said you've been twice to Malta this year?
Yeah, twice this year. I was there 3 weeks ago, and I was there for 5 weeks during Easter. And I'd never, you know, I've been going to Malta once a year, sometimes twice a year for the last, 20 plus years. I've never been to Malta during Easter, and I've always seen it on TV. I remember in the old days, my nunna would get the video from Zaytun, where our family's from, and show the feast, and we'd all sit around the TV and watch the feast every year. But I never had a chance to experience it myself, and it was such an amazing time of year to be there. It really, really overwhelmed me with national pride and a deep connection with the Maltese history and Maltese church. It was amazing.
It's definitely different from summer. So did you plan to go to the places, restaurants, chefs you visited, or sort of one thing led to another?
No, we spend a lot of time researching and planning the series before we go. So as soon as we knew that we had the funding and Malta was keen to do it and SBS were going to partner with us, we started planning straight away. Obviously, I've got a lot of friends in Malta that are in hospitality, and I know a lot of producers there. So, you know, they were my sort of first people that I wanted to call on. But we've got a great research team who I work really closely with, and we wanted to first work out what was the story we wanted to tell. Like, what did we want to convey to people? How did we want to show the history of Malta? And then how did we want to show that through food? And then we started looking for specific people who were doing beautiful things, you know. So we started to look for people who were producing, you know, food in Gozo, food in Malta. We wanted a mix of old dishes, you know, that are traditionally Maltese. We wanted to show some of the new chefs that are cooking, you know, new things. We wanted to give a really good view of to the whole world, because this show won't only air in Australia. This will show, you know, all around the world. So we wanted to show people, you know, that there's a lot to offer in Malta.
Yes, and perhaps one of the things also to show how even Maltese food, how it varies from village to village and from family to family.
Most definitely. And you know, how there's regional dishes, you know, even in Gozo, they're only cooked in Gozo. And, you know, how the seafood, you know, in Mashashtok is very different to what you'll find in the rest of Malta. And but even, you know, a dish like, you know, that we all love, you know, and really was the one dish that made me want to be a chef, which is, you know, our national dish of Fennec Stufat. The recipe I learned from my grandfather, you know, is quite different to, you know, my friend's dishes that come from other parts of Malta. And ours is quite rich in spice, it's a lot thicker and more, you know, gravy-ish than, you know, some of the tomato-heavy ones that I've seen. And that's just one, you know, sort of one example. So we wanted to talk about that as well.
And in each episode, you put your own twist to some of the local and family recipes. Give us an example or two of your recipes.
Well, I'm very cautious in redoing traditional recipes. I think that what I wanted to do during this series is I wanted to show people how could they could introduce a little bit of Maltese flavour into their own homes. Now, you know, this is for the whole Australian and the global community, not just people of Maltese descent. So, and how Maltese food could be more of a staple, you know, where we can go with our food. It doesn't always have to be, you know, Ardagine and Ross and Fawn and, you know, Ardet and, you know, Sufat Talat and Nid. These are great dishes and they should be cherished and they should be kept as the way they are. But there's so many other beautiful things on the island that we can develop a cuisine around. Like we did one dish which isn't Maltese, but it feels so Maltese. We called it a Gozerton farmer's salad. And pretty much when I was just in the kitchen in Gozo, it was all the things that were around me. You know, I had some bread from the day before and I toasted that up and put some olive oil and rolled it with some like conserva through it. And then I got some tomatoes and some beans and some chicory and you know, some grated some pomegranates, and I made a vinaigrette with olives and olive oil, and I crossed it all up and made this really beautiful salad. And over the top, I put a heap of grated peppered spinet, which it was so Maltese, but no one's ever cooked that for me. You know, my nun has never cooked that for me. No, I've never seen it in a restaurant. But why can't that be Maltese? That can be Maltese. It
might become a Maltese traditional dish.
Well, that's the whole idea. You know, that was the whole idea. We did, what I'm trying to think, what did we do? Well, one episode, we went to Camino and we were talking about where Camino got its name from, you know, and the story of having wild Maltese cumin on the island. And we also filmed some beehives, and we also went and filmed some of the old harub, you know, the carob trees. And I thought, how can I bring all of these influences together in one dish and for it to feel Maltese? So and I thought, okay, well, I can do that. And I remember, you know, baked is such a, you know, a special thing, you know, nougat. And I thought maybe I can do like a frozen sort of nougat with carob and lots of, you know, figs and nuts, and then have a meringue on top of cumin and honey. And why can't that be Maltese? It could be Maltese. Yeah, yeah. They're all Maltese ingredients. They're all there on the island, and it feels, and it was a beautiful dish. It was very, very, very beautiful.